When we last left off, in our last session, we mentioned that in Eretz Yisrael, the imperial authorities prevented the rabbis from meeting to proclaim new moons and leap years. This is the middle of the 4th century. And they also prevented the rabbis from sending messengers to the diaspora communities to inform them of their decisions at this point in time. And presumably these prohibitions were one of the reasons that caused Hillel II in the year 358 to determine once and for all a fixed calendar and send it in writing to the diaspora communities. The completion of the Talmud Yerushalmi also took place in the second half of the 4th century, and the Nasi, the institution of the Nasi, of the patriarch, was abolished at approximately 425 after the death of Rabbi Gamliel. And therefore, we see around this time the power, the spiritual power in Eretz Yisrael is declining quite rapidly. Meanwhile, the spiritual power in Babel is rising. And as mentioned in a previous lecture, a great spiritual upsurge occurred in Babel in the second half of the second century, almost certainly as a result of the large influx of refugees from Eretz Yisrael that took place after the failed Bar Kokhba revolt in the second century and the persecutions that followed it. Many Babylonians went to study in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, and then returned to Babel. A primary example was Abaricha, generally known as Rav or Rabbeinu. His return to Babel in 219 was a turning point in the spiritual halachic development of the country. After returning to Babel, he settled in Sura, which contained a large Jewish population but little learning, and he founded a great yeshiva there, a masifta there, a great academy there. Rav introduced the Mishnah, which had just been completed, together with the system of study and many customs from Israel. Nahardai, a cultural center of long standing, underwent a revival in those days and also became the seat of a great yeshiva, a great academy, which was headed by Shmuel. This is Rav and Shmuel, the great early Amoraim in Babel. Jewish Babylonia was divided between Sura and Nahardai, some towns adopting the rulings of the former and some of the latter. Many students joined Rav's academy at Sura. During his lifetime, the custom of the Yarche Kala was instituted. In the 2 months of the year in which work in the field came to a virtual standstill, in Adar before Pesach and Elul before Rosh Hashanah, thousands of Jews gathered at the academies to study Torah. As in Israel, the curriculum was based mainly on the Mishnah. At times, Sura outshone Nahardai, and sometimes Nahardai outshone Sura. Nahardai was destroyed in 259, 5 years after Shmuel died, and the yeshiva was reestablished in Pumbedisa. The founder of Pumbedisa was Rabbi Yehuda ben Yecheskel, and he was succeeded by Rabba Bar Nachmani, Rav Yosef Barchia, and then Abaye. In the middle of the 4th century, under the presidency of Rava, the yeshiva moved to Mechoza, but after his death, it moved back to Pumbedisa. The Sura yeshiva heads included Rav Huna. During his time, Rav Yehuda, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, the head of Pumbedisa, viewed himself as a disciple of Rav Huna. Another great leader of Sura was Rav Chista, but by then the power was in Pumbedisa. And after Rav Chista's death, Sura did not have a yeshiva head until Rav Ashi in 371 of the Common Era. Now, and that was about, Rav Chista died in 309, so we're talking about 60 years of no yeshiva head. So today I want to speak a bit about Abaye and Rava. When we think about the entire genre of Talmudic debate, it is referred to as Havayos de Abaye v'Rava, the give and take of Abaye and Rava, so much so that the Gemara in Sukkah, Dav Chav Ches Amud Aleph, states that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, living some 300 years earlier, was an expert in Havayos de Abaye v'Rava. So obviously he did not know Abaye and Rava, he lived before them, but what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that these were two individuals that symbolized Talmudic debate. So who were these two individuals? What do they stand for? And why did these two individuals indeed symbolize Talmudic debate? Perhaps the most suggestive story about Abaye and Rava's religious approach appears in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem Ches Amid Aleph, when they were children. The Gemara says that Abba and Rava, Havayasu Kami de Rava, Abaye and Rava were both sitting in front of Rava. Amar Lahu Rava, Rava said to them, Lami Mavarchim, to whom do we bless? Amar Lahu Rachmana, to the merciful one, they said. Rachmana Hecha Yasif, so Rava asked these two young children, Abaye and Rava, where does the merciful one, where does God sit? Rava Achve Lishmei Talala, Rava pointed to the roof. Abaye Nafak Livra, Achve Klape Shmaya. Abaye went outside and pointed to the heavens. Amar Lahu Rava, Rava said to them, Tarvaichu Rabbonot Havisu. Both of you will become Chachamim, sages. Haini Dami Inche, Butzin Butzin Mekatfe Yadia. This is like what people say, one can tell how a pumpkin will be from the moment it buds. This story illustrates that even at a very young age, Abaye and Rava were already on the path towards greatness in Torah, for they knew where God lives. However, Rava stayed inside and pointed to the ceiling, while Abaye went outside and pointed to the sky. This difference may have indicated something about their personalities. Perhaps one way of understanding the difference between them is that Rava sees God inside within structure, whereas Abaye sees God in the absence of structure outside. Rava finds God, or perhaps in the walls of the Beis Medrash, while Abaye finds God outside the walls of the Beis Medrash. In Ein Ayah, which is a commentary on the Agadic sections of the Gemara, Rav Kook explained that Rava focused on the details, whereas Abaye focused on the outside. He was spiritually restless, ever looking to explore deeper and deeper understandings. We might even argue that Rava held more of a Torah-only approach, whereas Abaye held a Torah-plus approach. He was open to other ways to connect to God beyond the four walls of the Beis Medrash. And as we briefly examine each of their lives, we will see how these different approaches may reflect other stories about them. So first, let's speak about Abaye. Abaye lived from 278 to 338. Now, Abaye's father was Kiyalel. And the source for this is Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud Ches Abud Beis. And Abaye came from the family of Eli. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Abud Aleph states that both Rabba and Abaye both came from the house of Eli. Now, unfortunately, the Gemara in Kedushin Laman Aleph Amud Bey states that when Abaye's mother became pregnant, Abaye's father died, and when Abaye was born, his mother died. But he was raised by another woman who took care of him, and he professes thanks to her and considers her his mother. His name when he was born was Nachmeni, as is indicated a number of times in the Gemara. But according to the Aruch, since he grew up in the house of his uncle Rabba Bar Nachmeni, his father called him Abaye so as to refrain from mentioning the name of his father when he was calling Abaye. He didn't want to mention his father Nachmeni when he wanted to refer to his nephew. And Abaye means Avi Sheli, my father. So he's naming his son. You have the same name as my father. You are Abaye. We find Abaye being recognized in his youth by his uncle Rabba as someone who has a great future ahead of him. We find him challenging Rav Yehuda, who was a second generation Amora and the head of the Surah Yeshiva. Abaye must have been a teenager when he challenged the Rosh Yeshiva based on their age discrepancy. Rabba, his uncle who raised him, tried to sharpen his acumen in halacha. He asked him questions to achieve this goal. There's a story where in the Gemara and Brachos Daf Lamed Gimel Beis, where there was a person who basically said to Rabba that referred to Hashem as someone who is so merciful because of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, and the Mishnah says you're not supposed to be merciful like this. But Rabba said, oh my gosh, this person really knows how to pray to God. Abaye said, what do you mean? The Mishnah said you shouldn't pray to God in this fashion. And the Gemara says, yeah, Rabba was just trying to sharpen Abaye's answer. He was just testing Abaye. And he was just trying to sharpen his acumen. Abaye also learned by Rav Yosef, and he respected him, and he would repeat the teachings that Rav Yosef had taught him, but forgot because he was old. Now, before Abaye became Rosh Yeshiva, sometimes his economic situation wasn't so great, and there are many stories about how he went hungry. The story in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel Aleph, which says that Abaye had Hadrokan, which is a stomach sickness, because he starved himself. He wasn't so hungry. He didn't have a lot of food. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Chesed Aleph, speaks about how Abaye had a lot of wounds. He had a lot of wounds in his teeth, and the standard medicines did not work for him initially, until an Arab told him to roast pits of unripe olives on a glowing hot shovel and apply it to his teeth, and that worked. There were times when he worked at night and studied Torah during the day, and later in his life, his economic status improved and he had workers himself. Now, Abaye was selected as Rosh Yeshiva on Pumbedisa after Rav Yosef passed away. The Gemara in Horios, Daf Yudal Min Aleph, states that after Rav Yosef passed away, there were four candidates: Abaye, Rava Rav Zera, and Rava Bar Masta. These were four candidates for the position of the Rosh Yeshiva of Pumbedisa. And the test was, who could say a chiddush that couldn't be challenged? And Abaye won, and therefore he became the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, Abaye loved Torah. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Amud Beis, states that when he saw a young Talmud finish a Masechta, he made a big celebration. This is the basis for the concept of making a siyum whenever you finish a Masechta. However, he knew that it was impossible for everyone to be occupied in Torah only, as evidenced by his support for Rabbi Shmuel's position in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. Famous debate between Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Should you be a learner-earner, or should you be someone who's only learning Torah and have faith that God will provide for you? And Rabbi Shmuel said, you should be a learner-earner, you should learn, but you should also work the field. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, if everyone's working the field, what will be with Torah? Rather, if we merited, other people that will be taken care of if we learn Torah. And it's Abaye specifically who makes the sociological comment that many people follow the learner-earner model of Rabbi Shmuel and were successful, and most people were not successful following Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Torah-only model. In other words, according to Abaye, there's a world outside Torah, there's a world outside the Beis Medrash. Abaye was very dedicated to Gemilas Chesed. The Gemara in Rosh Yud Ches Amud Aleph states that even though Rabba and Abaye came both from the house of Eli, Rabba, who occupied himself in Torah, lived for 40 years, and Abaye, who occupied himself in Torah and Gemilas Chesed, so he lived for 60 years. His love for people was evidenced by his frequent sayings of pleasantness. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph says that he would always greet everyone, even a non-Jew, in the marketplace, he was someone who frequently said that the whole Torah is because of Darchei Shalom, because of the pasuk Drachei Darchei Noam V'chol Nesiv Asel Shalom. This is in Gittin Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. He was someone who professed the ideal of Avas Hashem, was that the Shem Shemayim should be beloved, that the Shem Shemayim should be beloved through all of our actions. This is the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, that we should be individuals, V'hafta Shem Elokecha, we should be someone who people look at us, and we should be beloved, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be beloved through us. The people should look at our behavior and say, wow, look at this person, he's behaved so wonderfully, blessed be his father taught him Torah, blessed be his Rebbe who taught him Torah. Very, very beautiful. And this was Abaye. The mind, the heart, and the soul of Torah was so evident in the great Talmudic sage, Abaye. Now, just if we turn to Rava, just as Abaye grew up in the house of his uncle, who was a great Talmudic sage, namely Rava, Rava grew up in the house of his father, who was also a great Talmudic sage, namely Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi was born in the town of Mechuza. His Rebbe was Rav Nachman, who also lived in Mechuza. He was also a Talmud of Rav Chista. When Rav Yosef died, as mentioned, there are four individuals who were candidates to succeed Rav Yosef as the head of Pupadisa, but Rava loses out to Abaye. So Rava then goes to Mechuza, and he established the yeshiva there with many students. Now Rava was known to say that iyun, or sharp thinking, outweighs bikius, outweighs breadth of, you know, tremendous, simple, a lot of knowledge. There's a Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yudam Ad Aleph, states that Rava said, Hanu Damri Inshi, this is what people say, Tavachada Pilpata Charifta Mimale Tzona Dekari. A single sharp pepper is more effective than a basket full of pumpkins. Better to be sharp, better to be expert in Iyun than to simply know a lot of information. In fact, one of his students, Rav Ada Barava, told students to leave Abaye for Rava, because Rava is much sharper in his thinking and analysis. This is found in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Now, additionally, a story is told in the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, that after Rava died, so some of his students went to hear shir by Rav Papa. And apparently, they were not satisfied with all of his teachings. Very often they would say, this doesn't make sense. It's not like the good old days when we had Rava as our Rebbe. Rava's number one focus was Torah study. He criticizes someone in Shabbos, Daf Yudam and Aleph. Rava's father of Hamnuna was having a long davening. He was Marech Bitzluse. Amar Manich and Chayish Olam Vosim Chayisha. He said that you are giving up you're giving him chay olam, something that will give you everlasting life, and you're occupying yourself in chay shah, in temporary life. What temporary life? Tefillah. He said, you're davening too much. Don't daven too much. You should learn. Don't daven too long. You should spend your time learning Torah. And he says that Torah saves him from punishment. He says in the Gemara Menachos Daf Kuf Yudam Ad Aleph, that anyone who studies Torah doesn't need other sacrifices. He's the author of the famous statement in Baba Basra Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara, and he created the Torah as a tavla, and he created the Torah as a medicine against Yetzer Hara. He's the one who says in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches Beis that Torah is the elixir of life, and he says that there are many statements. Many statements that he makes in favor of Talmud Torah. However, he also focused on Yiras Shamayim, very important that someone should be Tochel Kaboro. The Mon Yom Adaf Ayin Beis on the basis, if you're someone who's inside like you're outside, he's the one who said that Torah has to be Lishma. The Mon Brachos Daf Yitzayin Amid Aleph, that Kol Ose Shalom Lishma Nochlo Shalom Nivra. If you engage in Torah, Shalom Lishma, it's better that you weren't born. Rava was especially pious. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Aleph from Amud Aleph states he fasted 2 days for Yom Kippur, the Sveika D'Yoma. So we keep 2 days Yom Tov, but to keep 2 days Yom Kippur, that's too much for us. But he did. He would fast 2 days. Now, Rava cared about his Talmidim. He cared about different economic times. So he told them to stay away during the days of Nisan and Tishrei so they can tend to their fields. Now, the Talmud owes so much to many different minds. Rav Yochanan, Rav and Shmuel, these Amoraim prepared the material out of which the Talmud was built. Abaye, who lived from 280 to 338, and Rava, who lived from 299 to 352, further developed the methodology of Talmudic thought. Rava seems to have carried himself with great dignity, exacting standard, sharp mind. Remember when he was young, pointing, God is in the base medrash. Because his focus was Torah, Torah, Torah. Whereas Abaye seemed to be more of the type of the rabbi who is More focused on chesed, more focused on the outside of the Beis Medrash. Obviously, he was a tremendous Torah scholar, but he's probably more into Bekiyus. He's more into also being Me'uravim Habrios. He's more outside the Beis Medrash. Rava was sharper. Iyun, Abai was more Bekiyus. So who do we paskin like? So on the one hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Zayin Aleph, says that Halacha is like Rava in every case, except for six cases called Yal Kagam. There are only six cases that the Halacha is like Abai, but generally the Halacha follows Rava. However, the Gemara in Tainis, Daf Chav Aleph on the Bay states that Abaye was more connected to the God of heavens. Why? Because the Gemara there says that the Abaye would get a visit from the yeshiva, from the Masifta Derakia, the yeshiva up in the heavens, Komala Yoma de Shabsa, every Erev Shabbos. On the Rava, Komala Yoma de Kippur. And for Rava, he'd only get a visit once a year in Erev Yom Kippur. Abaye was more connected to the God of heavens, whereas Rava was more connected to the divine presence in the Beis Medrash. The Talmudic discussions are therefore called, and they're considered, the Havayos of Abai and Rava, those of Abai and Rava. The Iyun Beis Medrash versus the Bekiyus outside the Beis Medrash. Both of these personalities discuss, debate, and learn together, and these discussions in one base medrash contribute to the Torah, which is what we call Talmud or Gemara. Everything that we learn, the type of Torah of Rava, the type of Torah of an Abaye, it's a little different, different methodologies, different styles, different worldviews, but both models combine to form what we call the Talmud, what we call the Gemara.